Hello, Dale speaking. This is India.
Dale speaking. This is Rue.
Dale speaking. This is Amber.
Ring, ring. Dale speaking.
I think we're alone now.
I think we are.
How are we alone?
Hello, hello, and welcome to Radio Dale number 56.
This week in music history, Janet Jackson has a wardrobe malfunction.
This week on Who Charted? The Spin Burners.
For the roundtable discussion, resolving your social media woes.
And for our featured song, Bobby Wills Ain't All the Way Crazy. He's just crazy enough. And now it's time for This Week in Music History, and I'm starting off January 30th, 1988. Tiffany was at number one on the UK singles chart with I Think We're Alone Now. There doesn't seem to be anyone around. The proper version of that song. It was her only UK number one. The song was a hit for Tommy James and the Shondells in 1967, but we just pretend that never happened.
So she went to number one in the UK. Good for her.
Yeah.
So not only in the States and
oh, it's huge.
America.
Her first album, I think, went 7 times platinum.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Jesus. And what is she doing now?
She's singing in
movies.
She's
in Sharktopus versus Sharktopus Monster.
A bunch of those like asylum movies, and she released a country album called Rose Tattoo. And in the early 2000s,
did you have to ask this question?
Sorry.
She released an album called Color of Silence, which I believe Spin magazine said was like Alanis Morissette's Jagged Little Pill, but with balls.
What? As you can tell, Rue's a fan. January 31st, 1987, born on this day, Marcus Mumford.
Who?
English musician, best known as the lead singer of... Mumford and Sons?
Mumford and Sons!
Oh, is it what are
you... I'm being an idiot.
So you're being like, no. Anyway, he's from Mumford and Sons. Their second studio album, Babel, released in 2012, debuted at number one on both the UK Albums Chart and the US Billboard 200. It was the fastest selling album of 2012 in the UK.
There you go.
So good for you and happy birthday, Mr. Mumford. And
I actually didn't know that his last name was Mumford.
Yeah. One of them is a Mumford, the rest are not.
Are
his
the rest,
sons.
I was going to say.
No, then was it Dr. Did he have a company that was like, did his father
Mumford
have?
Mumford is law people.
Oh,
do you like
they're lawyers?
No, I'm joking.
I thought you actually having convinced for a second.
February 1st, 1995, Richie Edwards, guitarist with the Manic Steel Street Preachers, vanished, leaving no clues to his whereabouts. I don't know who this person is.
Oh, really?
No. He left the Embassy Hotel in London at 7 a.m., leaving behind his packed suitcase. His car was found on the Severn Bridge outside of Bristol, and 16 days... Oh, it was found 16 days later.
Hmm.
Edwards had never been found despite constant searching, and in November 2008 he was declared officially dead. Wow. So 13 years later he was declared dead.
Yeah.
And I still don't know who he is or who the Manic Street Preachers are.
I know who the Manic Street Preachers are, but I didn't know band members, but I didn't even know that.
I don't know about that, yeah.
Yeah, that he just disappeared.
They're just a band I thought had faded away. February 2nd, 2004, TV network CBS apologized for its broadcast of the American Super Bowl after Janet Jackson was left exposed when Justin Timberlake ripped off her top. Now, I always was trying to figure out, because he was very much reaching for her top.
What was, he literally
ripping
just
pulled it off.
And since when do the, like, your shirt have, like, your bra has a removable thing?
Yeah,
like,
it's a
like
perfect
what?
Space with a nipple, like, a piercing.
It was so
which
staged.
Was perfect, like, it was,
completely
it was
staged.
Supposed to be that way. And it was raunchy up to that point. As mentioned here, the pair had been performing a raunchy halftime duet when one of her breasts was exposed when he pulled at her top. He didn't pull at her top.
He
pulled
like,
the specific flap. So that it would open.
And then she was like, what?
Yeah, she acted
I'm
shocked.
So shocked.
But, like, this is the same girl that one of her album covers, or maybe it was, like, the full picture used for the album cover was her sitting there with her arms up, and there's a guy standing behind her covering up her boobs.
And don't forget how, like, the perfect little nipple ring she
No, it was
as
dead
well.
Center, too. It was,
like, she just managed to put in her fancy one that day.
Yeah.
So, come on.
It was pretty well staged from somebody that is generally showing them off anyways, or just slightly covering them up, as I think one of her album covers was her just being slightly covered up by hands. So,
good job.
Timberlake said it was an accident. I am sorry that anyone was offended by the wardrobe malfunction during the halftime performance. And that was when, in 2004, wardrobe malfunction became basically a running gag.
Wasn't it the longest searched thing on Google for
a very like, long time? Yeah, people just thought it was hilarious. Yeah.
Yep. February 3rd, 2010, AC/DC singer Brian Johnson joined a group of critics of Bob Geldof and U2 singer Bono over their very public charity work, saying they should stop lecturing audiences about charity work and instead do their good deeds in private. Johnson said, "When I was a working man and I didn't want to go to a concert for some bastard to talk down to me..."
Can you do this in an Australian accent, please?
Oh, God. I don't even know how to speak that. When
I...
Oi! Crikey! When I was a young man, I didn't want to go to a concert for some bastard, crikey, to talk down to me... that I should be thinking of some kid in Africa. Oh my God. I'm sorry, mate. Do it yourself. Spend some of your own money and get it done. It just makes me angry.
Oh. Well, I guess he's... I can understand getting angry.
So he's friggin' crotchety.
He is crotchety. I don't really picture him going to concerts either.
But if he went to concerts, that's what he's saying. Oh, if so I wasn't so stinkin' rich and amazing, I would want to go to a concert and listen to... Dude guy, tell me about the children in Africa, and that's his words, not mine.
Yeah.
So, I just thought that needed to be shared.
There you go. Amber's anger of the day.
No, but Mr.
Brian Johnson.
Yeah, Brian Johnson.
Johnson's anger.
But if you're just defending your man, so.
Yeah. Bono got you.
She's married to Bono.
So in my brain.
No, it's true.
He's here every day.
Yeah.
Saying hi.
He's waiting outside.
February 4th, 1962, born on this day, country singer Clint Black, U.S. hit with Desperado from the Eagles' tribute album Common Thread.
Oh, yeah.
Happy birthday, Clint Black.
Happy birthday, Clint.
And then there was the 1992 U.S. number 8 album, The Hard Way, also.
Oh, not number 1.
Number 8.
Oh, sorry, Clint. Happy birthday! You had number 8 album.
And February 4th, 2004, a continuation.
2 days later.
2 days later, Janet Jackson's right breast becomes the most searched for image in net history. It was seen by millions on TV after Justin Timberlake pulled at her bodice during a duet. Search engines reported a big jump in searches, strangely after that happened, for Janet Jackson and Super Bowl as people turn to the web for images of the event. So,
perverts.
2004, that's 10 years after the net sort of started really getting popular.
That's 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's 10 years ago. So 20 years ago, we had like, internet became a bit more popular. More for the people rather than for students. Then 10 years after that, we have our first real super explosion of people going from TV to the internet to try to find something. Happens to be Janet Jackson's lady pillows.
And that was this week in music history.
I was going to say lady parts, but I realized that's something different.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to say lady parts.
We'll cut this out if you need this. Anyways, it's now time for Who
Charted.
It's now time for Who Charted.
And this week, Who Charted? It was the Spin Burners. What's a Spin Burner, you ask?
Is it like the Spin Doctors?
No.
Oh.
But close. The Spin Burners are something you will find on the BDS radio charts, mm-hmm. on the Spins chart specifically. And the chart is basically broken down from number 1 to 50. And then you also will have your futures, which are the songs that will be showing up hopefully on the chart very soon, but they're songs that are just starting to get airplay. And then you have your Spin Burners, which are the list of pretty much the top 5 songs on each specific chart that are getting the highest increase in spins that specific week. So I thought I would take the top Spin Burner from each format and kind of give you that list so that you as a musician or a fan of music or what have you can have an idea of what songs are really starting to make an impression, whether they are a new song or it is a song that's already been out for a while and is getting some big increases.
Cool. Yeah.
Whether that has to do with something in pop culture or like the Grammys or what have you. So here we go. So the number one spin burner for the AC radio chart is One Direction with Story of My Life. And it is number 18 this week, and it's up from number 22.
Oh, okay.
In rock, we have Foster the People, Coming of Age. It's number 19 this week, up from 24. We have CHR. We have Katy Perry with Dark Horse. It's this number 6 this week, number 11 last week. Country, we have Gord Bamford with Unreal. This is new at number 35 on the chart, so this is a new single from Gord Bamford. Hot AC, once again, we have Katy Perry with Dark Horse. Now, this is interesting to see. She's number 29, up from 37 on the Hot AC chart.
That's so, the biggest jump.
Yeah.
The rest of them were only 5.
Mm-hmm. So, the... Well, actually, Gloria's... anyway, move.
Yeah.
Katy Perry's Dark Horse on CHR is much higher on the chart, much higher, number 6. Yeah. So, that's definitely a more CHR-sounding track.
Now, is that a Grammy bump
for it could radio, be. Do you think? It could be, because the song hadn't really... really made an impression before that. It started, but I think Grammys could help, definitely. And her tour announcement was last week as well.
That's true.
Mainstream rock, we have Glorious Sons with White Noise. This week 17, last week 26. We've been seeing a lot of ads for those guys recently. And at modern rock, Foster the People, Coming of Age. Once again, they're on there. And they're number 5 this week, last week 14.
Yeah.
So they had a huge jump on the modern rock chart. And the modern rock chart will influence the rock chart where they are as well. Because the rock chart will monitor mainstream rock stations and modern rock stations.
Okay.
So yeah, there you have. Those are the songs that are getting the biggest spin increases this week.
Very cool. And I guess that's who charted.
That's who charted.
All right, and we are going to move straight into... Yeah, we're very excited because we have a jukebox, a little fake Wurlitzer jukebox CD player, and it has bubbles and lights, and the bubbles weren't working, but then they started working.
Right when I was talking, it went poop.
And suddenly we're like, bubbles.
Oh my God, bubbles.
We're really easily amused.
Amused.
Yes. Speaking of easily amused, I don't think that's a segue.
Nope. Good try, though.
We're going to move straight into the roundtable this week. And this week we are talking about... Well, actually, we're more answering questions that come our way from artists, specifically related to social media. Twitter, Facebook. I would say Google Plus, but nobody else would. But basically anything you do online to try to reach your fans, other than, say, your email newsletter or your YouTube videos. So we get asked a lot of questions that keep coming up again and again and again.
Yeah, like every time we talk to a musician and social media comes up, these are the questions that seem to always come up.
Yeah. So they're obviously an obstacle or a frustration that people are having to deal with regularly. And I'm assuming that more than just people who talk to us are having the same problems. Mm-hmm. So we're going to offer some advice right now on 3 major questions that are asked to us on a regular basis, things that we do to deal with them, and kind of talk out our answers. And the first thing before we get into the 3 questions is that there is really no right answer, which is really crappy to say, but there is no right way. There are some very wrong ways to do things.
On social media.
On social media, but there's no 100% this is the way to do it. And I think that's what gets under people's skin, because
but that's what
they
makes
want.
It interesting.
It makes it interesting, makes it more creative.
People think that there's an answer to why certain musicians have so much popularity on social media compared to others, but when we talk to musicians of all levels, they all deal with the same thing.
Yes.
So it's whether, and then some of them don't even deal with their own social media.
Yeah, exactly.
So so don't be fooled that, you know,
if somebody's got a lot of support, there might be more going on, more of a strategy for how they built up their followers. So let's not focus on followers.
Okay.
Let's focus on fans. And let's try to answer these 3 questions. So the first one that we hear a lot is, what is the ratio, or I guess a better way to phrase it is, how much is too much selling? When am I talking too much about my own stuff? And this comes up because people will see other artists post constantly about albums on iTunes to buy, videos that they've just put up, SoundCloud links to songs.
Yeah.
And it's just this constant barrage of me promotion. And the question is, what is too much? When should you be posting about yourself? and when should you be posting about other stuff? Mm-hmm. And we'll deal with the other stuff later. Mm-hmm. So my first bit of information would be that I always think a 1-to-8 ratio is smart, and I've heard this brought up elsewhere before, which means for every 8 tweets you make, one of them can be a sell.
Oh, okay.
So
is that other, Facebook as well?
Facebook, you can you can get away with Facebook a bit more differently. With Facebook, okay. Because tweets last much less of a time. Tweets have about a life of 15 minutes.
Right.
So you can kind of tweet 4 times in an hour, and there's no reason why somebody would get annoyed with you. Mm-hmm. And when I say stuff like that, I'm not including mentions. If you're replying to somebody, that's not a tweet. If you get 20 people tweeting you overnight and the next morning you reply to all 20 in a row, that's fine. You're almost having a conversation. Mm-hmm. It's I'm talking about actually tweeting links or posts to yourself or links or posts to things that you found that are interesting or thoughts in your head, that kind of thing. 1-to-8 ratio is a good way to look at it because then you're not going to always be telling people to do something for you. You'll occasionally be doing things for them, whether that's sharing another artist's music or talking about something that interests you, whether that's a hobby you have or just a shower thought even. A lot of people like to talk about shower thoughts, those neat ideas you get in the shower. That kind of thing can be a tweet where you're like, isn't it interesting how rain does this or something like that. Just a neat thought you have. Tweet that kind of stuff. That is fine. It's the selling or especially linking to a video or iTunes and saying, watch my video, buy from iTunes, follow me on SoundCloud. You're going to want to try to limit those throughout a day. So I say 1-to-8. Okay. Do you guys have thoughts on how often somebody should talk about themselves or promote themselves?
Well, I know, like, looking at it as somebody who's not in the music industry, but as, like, a fan.
Yeah.
Being on Facebook, you know, intermittently throughout the day, I would say, like, I just want to see one or two mentions of your music that day, specifically of saying my new single.
Yeah.
And one a day may even be a lot.
Yeah.
Where you're just straight up saying, here's my new single, go buy it. If I'm a fan of you, I'm going to know about your single.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's implied.
Yes. And, you know, and I understand that when it comes out, you want to push it and whatever. But when we were sitting and talking about this podcast, I kind of just started thinking of ideas or ways that maybe you can still push your music without actually pushing it. Mm-hmm. And these are things we've seen done. But there was one where create a contest around your single so that you're not just selling it. So, for example, Bobby Wills has his single called Crazy Enough, and what he has his fans doing is supplying pictures of them doing something crazy, and they can get a copy of his single for free before it goes on iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
So he's selling his single, and they all have to hashtag it, but he's selling it without really...
It's like getting your fans to sell it for you through...
Exactly.
A fun engagement, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Also, another fun way is if you hear your single on the radio as the musician or you find out it's been added somewhere, share that.
Yes.
If it's been added to Much Music or the video or whatever.
Yeah, tell them where they can see it.
Share it. Share that because that's, again, you're not saying, here's my new single, go buy it. You're saying, look at all where it is. I'm so proud. I'm so happy. And then you can link it, you know. Engage while you're sharing about your new music or your tour. So that can be through photos or show behind the scenes. What I love as a fan is behind the scenes.
Yes.
So I want to see stuff. You preparing to go on stage to sing it for the first time somewhere. And again, you can hashtag the single.
Yeah.
The other thing was exclusive stuff. Like, can I hear, once the single's out, put up a minute video of you recording it in the studio. It's all simple stuff, but it's still, the single is being sold to me without me even really realizing.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I look at it. And I wouldn't mind more than one of those in a day.
Oh, totally. The those soft sell is nice.
The implicit is really lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then it's fun and, Mm-hmm. I was thinking, I just saw like a few minutes ago, The Balconies posted a thing and they have a new single out and their album just came out yesterday.
Yesterday, okay. Yes.
And, you know, instead of lots of people, when they're trying to push their singles, they'll say to their fans, like, go request it at this station, here's the number, like, go get to work for me, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they were just like, it's available at your radio station, if you want to request it, that's awesome.
Be my guest.
See you on the weekend at the show.
Yeah. I like that. It's
yeah.
the
Super
permissive
classy.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Permissive marketing where it's like you're essentially asking somebody for permission to have them do something for you or not even bringing up the specific call to action. Just mm-hmm. being like, I'd love your help.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you just want to listen to it, that's
yeah.
fine, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And those are really good suggestions as well. It should be thought that if you're going to try to sell something, you should never sell back-to-back. So you never want to tweet, go buy my album on iTunes, and then 2 hours later, your second
album.
Tweet right after that being go buy my album on iTunes.
Yeah. So make sure you have filler in between.
Have filler, and it's not even thinking of it as filler. It should be you should be looking at it as this is a fun way to sort of express myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, really, you're lucky that the people are there
yeah.
on your page anyway. Like, I was saying to you yesterday, I was in Lush, and I was in the store, and I was going to buy things, and then the salespeople kept saying, oh, well, look at this, and look at this, and look at this, and then I just got really pissed off, because, like, they made me want to buy less than
yeah.
what I was already prepared
very
to do,
pushy.
Just because they were very pushy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't be pushy.
Yeah. The only time you should be pushy is if somebody's requesting it. Like, you go into a record store, and you say, mm-hmm. I want to buy a whole bunch of rock albums, but I don't know what to get.
Right.
Direct me to all your favorite rock albums. That's pretty cool.
No pressure.
And but I do like a point that was brought up earlier before we move on from this one, that specifically your fans already know about your single, and you should assume they know about your single, especially if it's been a day or so since you've announced it.
Mm-hmm.
If they're true fans, they're going to know about it anyways, because you're going to have it up. Say your Twitter picture might be the single thing, the single cover.
Mm-hmm.
Your Facebook cover, the big image at the top of your Facebook page, may say was released, blah, blah. And you're going to be posting about it. So really all you're doing, if you keep posting about it, is you're telling the same X number of fans, whether that's 50 or 5,000, over and over again to do something that they already know.
Yeah.
So you should save the selling aspect for potential new fans. So maybe reaching out to blogs to write an article about your new album or a review, or reaching out to podcasts, because there are a lot of podcasts that play Canadian music, or if you're not in Canada, play music, you could probably find a local podcast just for your region,
yeah.
your city. They may want to feature your music. So that's where you want to try to put the selling. You should leave the engaging for your fans and the selling for potentially new fans. You want to get their attention.
Mm-hmm.
So the best way I could kind of sum it up is constant promotion is pretty much no different than someone who's always talking about themselves. So it's kind of like,
annoying.
Yeah, which is annoying. The
yeah.
difference is if somebody is always talking about themselves and they're like a friend, you kind of have to tolerate it. But online, people just have to click unfollow and it's done. You don't
yeah.
have to listen to it anymore.
Yeah,
don't
lose
spam
them in a second.
Yeah. So do not be the person that talks about themselves
be
all the
be interesting,
time.
Be fun, and at the same time, get your job done and, you
yeah.
know, sell your music and get people out to your shows. But you have to, basically, they have to like you on there just as much as they would like
exactly.
in person, right?
Yeah.
Talk, and like, you know, it's not limited to music. Talk about sports. Talk about,
yeah.
like, give, especially I like it when people post something informative.
That's a really cool segue, a proper segue, not a crappy one, to the next question. What do you talk about when you're not on tour or in a studio?
Yeah.
And that's exactly it. The regular comment we often hear, the sort of joke, although I don't think it's a joke in a lot of people's head, is I don't want to take pictures and talk about my food. I don't want to take pictures of lunch and talk about what I'm
yeah,
eating.
Yeah, because I have nothing else to say.
There's this perception that what you're supposed to do on Twitter or on Facebook or Instagram or any of these social networks is take pictures of your food and talk about them.
Yeah.
And it's sort of the default complaint from an artist who feels they have nothing to talk about. I'm not on tour. I'm not recording in a studio. I didn't just release an album. What do I talk about?
Right.
And this comes from, and this is the same thing when we worked with an artist called Mika Barnes, it was the same thing where there was sort of a tunnel vision where my social media is for my music, therefore all I can use it for is music. They don't realize that it's actually for you. Whether you have a personal Twitter and a band Twitter, the band Twitter is still about you as a person.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the best ways to expand from this, I don't want to take pictures of my food because you don't have to, is what other hobbies or skills do you have?
Yeah.
What interests you outside of music? If, as an exercise, even just sit down with a little block of paper and make a list of all the things you like. Do you like watching movies? Do you really like a specific genre? Are you a big fan of like sci-fi or something like that? Do you like fashion? Do you have a Pinterest board because you like collect pictures of things? Why not share those through your social media outside of Pinterest on Twitter and stuff? Do you like baking? We had an artist, they like to do gluten-free cupcakes. So we were encouraging them. I know this is your music social media pages, but why not teach people how to bake your cupcakes?
Yeah, maybe they'd even bring them to you at shows.
Yeah, they'd bake you your cupcakes and bring them to you. Are you a collector? This doesn't have to be music or nerd. Do you collect cars? Not that an independent musician could probably afford to collect cars. But do you collect gems? Do you have a fluorite collection or something like that? Why not share that? Like, it may seem like it's not associated with your music, but everything you do is associated with your music. It's all interesting.
Well, and for me personally, again, speaking from a fan point of view, it's okay if the artist is quiet when they don't have something going on. Like, if you're not recording an album, or you're in the middle of recording your album, but you're not touring, you don't have a single out, and you don't want to say anything yet about your music, that's okay.
Yes.
I'd rather you tweet or Facebook less, but with things that'll interest me more than you tweeting and Facebooking all the time and like, pay attention to me and don't forget about me. And
yes.
Here's the song we recorded 4 years ago. Like, and constantly putting that up so that I'll remember. That, don't worry. Like, you know, but like Rue was saying, like, if you're that kind of musician that wants to allow us into your personal life, and it doesn't have to be really personal. Like, for example, Chad Brownlee, his Instagram and his Twitter, while he was recording, were quieter than when he's on tour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every now and then there might be a day where he doesn't say anything. But he'll respond to all the people that reach out to him. But then he'll put up a picture a lot of the time of he was on some vacations in BC and the mountains. He puts up pictures of his dog all the time.
Good.
He loves his dog. So
if you have a dog, put up pictures
of your dog. Yeah, and then him recording, they took some time to do, they were shooting guns at like cans or whatever. Like, just, but people are looking at it. Like, tap into what your audience is and see what they, if your audience is all girls, they're probably going to like puppies. So, you know.
Or shirtless pics.
Yeah, or you shirtless in the shower, whatever. But so for me, it's, and another good example are the Arkells. I know they have new music coming out soon, but I follow them on Twitter. They are more active without music than most bands with music out.
Interesting.
If you follow them on Twitter, they just have conversations. They will be watching, for example, the Grammys, and they'll tweet about what they're seeing on the Grammys. It's not their individual accounts, it's them.
Yeah.
Cool.
So it's, and like Indy was saying, if there's a big NHL game or something, be involved in the conversation, because if the conversation's happening on Twitter already and it's going to happen, or Facebook, be involved. Get yourself involved. And there you go. Content. Done.
Yeah.
Put a picture of you watching the Grammys. Like,
yeah.
That's it. It's really simple.
One of my favorite artists, Amy Mann, she always likes to do live tweeting during awards shows, but she's really catty. So she'll basically be mocking the shows, but she'll do it, she'll invite comedian friends over. So Tim Heidecker, who's part of that Tim and Eric group, and Paul F. Tompkins, who's a comedian fairly well known on sort of the underground, they'll all sit and watch the Oscars and all tweet side by side together. So you actually get this long row of humor going by from a musician that you're entertained by. And there, I've noticed a few other artists, Canadian artists, they'll do stuff like tweet about the Oscars or tweet about the Grammys.
I think it's just important because you want to know that your musician like has a life and has interests.
Has an interest.
And they're not just music. Like, they enjoy other things as well, and it's not just all about that.
And it also is, you know, I don't want to feel like you're using your social media to sell your stuff to me
all the time.
And then you disappear.
Yeah.
And then you come back and start selling again. Like, you know, like, show me stuff in between.
Yeah.
Keep me interested. Mm-hmm. I have not forgotten about the Arkells, mostly because of Twitter.
Yeah. Another couple of suggestions. And again, all of this is just suggestions. Again, there's no right way. There are wrong ways. But the wrong ways mostly come from neglect or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But other suggestions, you may not be in the studio. You may not be on tour, but you might be writing songs. It might be kind of neat for you to document your songwriting process.
Right.
If you are the kind of person that engages with fans, especially musical fans or musician fans, they'd probably really appreciate finding out how you do what you do so they can maybe try it themselves. Mm-hmm. Do you record a little demo with just a piano or a guitar singing into one of those old Radio Shack, it's really hard to push down, play and record things on tape and then move from there? Or do you use computer? Do you write your songs lyrics first or music first? All that kind of stuff could potentially interest fans, especially if they're also aspiring songwriters.
Mm-hmm.
So, the long and the short of it, take what you love and share it with your fans. They will be interested. Or, as Amber says, it's okay to go quiet. It's a good idea to keep people
reminded.
Up
we're
to
still
date
alive.
That you are alive.
Yeah, yeah.
But you
don't
do not
disappear.
Have to keep your fans entertained at all times. But if you would like to engage with them and keep a conversation going, you can step outside of music. It doesn't have to be about the studio and the tour.
Yeah.
So, number three. Question number three. Ding, ding, ding. Three dings.
Ding.
That was four dings.
Four.
Ding, ding. Question number three. How can I engage fans? It's disheartening to talk in an empty room, isn't it? And
yes.
That's the problem with a lot of artists starting out. You might have built up a, say you have a fan base with your old band, but that band broke up. Now you have a new Twitter feed and it has 20 people on it. Or you've been struggling going, playing shows, but your fans are slowly building up on Twitter. Maybe you have 100 and 150 followers and 200 on Facebook, and you would like to engage them because you want to talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
But they aren't replying to the things you're saying.
I know how you can avoid that.
How can you avoid that?
Sometimes you have to make the first move.
It's true.
It's like making friends.
Yes, it is.
If
yeah,
you're
yeah.
like, you know, Rue, if you're going to come talk to me one day,
yeah.
and I like think like, like I like this guy. We should get along. Maybe we'll like, I don't know, hang out and do things together. Maybe you'll buy some stuff from me. I can't wait for you to come up every time and say something. I
yes.
can like, it's so easy and so much fun to write back to someone or write to someone first. So like someone else's response. And then they're like, whoa, like this guy just answered me. What's happening? That's totally cool.
That's funny you say that. I actually did that today. And I don't usually do that. On SoundCloud, somebody followed me. And I went to like, I was like, who is this person? So I clicked on their picture and I was the only person they were following. And I was like, that's kind of weird. But then I looked and they were listening to a whole bunch of music and sharing stuff, but they had just gotten around to following and it was just me and they'd liked a few things. I didn't know who this person was. So I sent them a message basically
yeah.
saying, thank you for the follow. What's
made
up?
Made your day.
Yeah. It was very cool. Something I actually heard on a podcast this morning is that when you're approaching somebody you don't know very well, sometimes it's cool to say, you say, it's nice to see you, instead of it's nice to meet you, because that's really kind of neutral. It also helps avoid the problem in case you have met them before.
Yes.
Artists who play lots of shows who
should
may not
do
realize
that.
Your super fans in Burlington who you see each tour keep introducing themselves and you keep saying, nice to meet you, nice to see you.
Not good. I think I saw that on some like housewife show.
Yeah,
or no, it was
nice
Gene Simmons' Family Jewels.
Nice to see you, and
Simmons
always ask
so.
What's up. What's up, or your variation of it, nothing formal, a nice informal. Find out about the other person
what
first.
What is up?
Tell me about what you're up to. What have you recently been doing kind of thing? Open up that conversation. That's really nice. I did not have that listed, but reaching out to
mm-hmm.
the fan first
yeah.
is a really good idea to
yeah.
get engagement.
Well, especially if you're following them.
Yes.
You know, and they
And you
post...
should always follow your
yes.
fans.
And
this
they
whole
post
I want
something
three,
cool.
I follow three people and 10,000 people follow me because it looks cool. It doesn't look cool. You look like a jerk.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
just
I'm
follow
sure
your
too.
Fans back. And if you're concerned about losing track of your friends and bands that you interact with, make a list. You can make lists in Twitter where you just add people to a list and
right.
make that list something you look at when you're looking it up. And if you're using
okay.
Hootsuite or anything like that, you can actually make your column. The main column you read tweets on, that list. So you're just looking at the fans you've added to the list.
I've seen stuff too, like for engaging, like something as simple as putting out a broad question, like I'm in Chatham this weekend. Can someone tell me where a good place to eat breakfast
yes.
is? Those are so simple, yet you're doing a call to action.
A
to
call
all your
to
fans.
Action, and that is the best way. If other than actually reaching out to people, which I think that might be the best way.
Yeah.
If you're looking to engage the fan base, a call to action, actually ask a question, a survey, a poll, ask for an opinion, and put it in words. Don't assume people realize you're asking them to talk back.
Oh, okay.
So tell me your, do
Sound
you
like,
think,
what's good?
Blah, 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 blah. What is your, blah, blah, blah. Ask the question.
Make it so that it's something that they can reply to.
Yeah.
Preferably not a yes or no. Do you like my shirt? You might get 1,000 people saying yes. That's not really engaging.
No.
Which color shirt should I wear at the show tonight? A bunch of people say blue, a bunch of people say red, a bunch of people say yellow, and the right people say pink, and then you wear the pink shirt.
And then the pink people think that they're super important because they influence you, and that gives them a sense of...
And the next most important thing, always respond to the people who talk to you, which is my big pet peeve, and this is a problem with Facebook. People will throw up a question of the day, and they'll get 3,000 people replying. Or... if you're not a 3,000 follower kind of band, you put up a question and 3 people reply, but you don't respond to them. And you can respond to them in bulk. If you have 100 people replying, you don't have to do 100 replies. You could just throw up a thanks for the ideas. I'm thinking about going this way tonight or something.
Yeah.
Or respond to the ones that were the funniest.
Well, I saw
this person's awesome.
Funny example, Alicia Cuthbert was doing that Bell Let's Talk. She's like, oh, retweet, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Instead of each person that retweeted it sending a note, thank you for retweeting, she wrote, thank you to each and every one of you that retweeted. I saw all of you. You're amazing.
Yeah.
So that, for an Alicia Cuthbert fan who retweeted that, in their mind, she looked at their profile.
Yeah. And she may have.
And then that she makes them want to go back because they think that she's looking, she sees all that stuff. When I see a person that actually responds to the fans or retweets and answers and stuff, I'm like, whoa, that's way more interesting than someone who ignores everybody.
Yeah, well, and it's like courtesy. Like if I said, hey, Amber, like, how do you like my hair? And you gave me your opinion. And then I just ignored you in person. I'd look like a bitch.
Yeah, it's almost rude. It's like a rude.
It's very rude. And like, you say something back, like, thanks, I value that.
It feels kind of like they were left hanging.
Yeah.
Like, you said, hey, who wants a high five? They all put up their hands for
it's
a high
like
five.
A one night.
Door een technische storing is dit nummer nu niet bereikbaar.
Now, the issue is, I don't even know where we left off.
Well, we can just say our battery died and...
Yeah.
We were making great points. We just need to own it.
Let's just own it.
Just in case it happens.
I'll even play that technical difficulties music.
Yeah.
Do.
Might as well. Make it cute. Instead of trying to make it sound like it didn't happen.
Yeah. And we're back.
Oops.
We had some technical difficulties. Our battery died on the recorder, once again reminding me to stock up on batteries or to bring the plug.
Bring the plug.
And we had a fatality. What's the best term for this? We had a unforeseen circumstance in that the battery died about the point India had to leave. So, India has left the conversation.
And she's alive.
She's alive.
No fatalities. Don't be confused by that.
Could you imagine?
We had a fatality.
With the battery.
With the battery, but, not the person.
So, we are back and we are going to close up this conversation about how to engage fans.
I had one last thing I wanted to share. I know we kind of just probably abruptly left off there, but I think everyone got the gist of what we were talking about. but one idea I thought, too, was if you need a little encouragement, and I know this is something Rue's talked to clients before, so I won't steal this idea, if you need a little encouragement to get yourself posting each day, especially when, you know, like we were saying, you're having a hard time getting people engaged and you don't know what to say or any of that stuff, make each day a theme. So this is, I know there's a band that Rue worked with previously, where there was 7 members in the band. So they named each day the member took over Twitter. So Jim Bob would take over Monday and Susie Q would take over Tuesday.
I like your name choices.
Yeah. that day, that person took over the Twitter. So it wasn't 7 people sitting around assuming the other one was doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But the other way too is make each day a theme. If there's only 2 of you or 1 of you, have Music Monday, which is a popular one already.
Yeah, and if you hashtag it, people will pick up on it.
Exactly, and share a song that you love. Doesn't have to be your own. I've made up these next few ones. They're really lame, but Tell All Tuesday.
That's actually funny, ironic, because there is a fairly regularly known one called TMI Tuesday.
TMI, that's right.
Where people say, ask me a question, I'll answer it no matter what it is, even if it's
offensive. A question, or they just
so
say,
too
I
much
had...
information Tuesday.
Oh, so not like a post, like, I have hemorrhoids?
Oh, people will say that kind of thing. Yeah, yeah. So I like your Tell All Tuesday.
Tell All Tuesday is more like better. Musician. Maybe like if you're a musician, say, on the last record, I don't know, played a guitar that I stole or something.
Like
I don't know.
Trivia Tuesday almost, too.
Trivia
like
Tuesday. Kind of trivia That's Tuesday cool. Would work. And then Wednesday, we were trying to brainstorm today. Yeah. Weird Wednesday. So
Weird Wednesday.
Share something that's really weird, a picture that's strange, just a funny photo off the internet.
Or maybe you have a band member named Will. It could be Will Wednesday, and Will just posts all day about what's on
exactly.
his mind. Whatever ideas you come up
with.
Yeah,
and Throwback Thursday is a popular one, and Fun Friday is a popular one.
Fun
so
Friday.
Just get creative so that you're encouraging or, you know, getting yourself used to doing posts, right?
And another point to bring up for this one about engaging fans, and this comes from Kevin Smith, who does a lot of podcasts, is pretty popular and known for his podcasts almost as much as his directing now.
And his movies.
And his movies. He also makes some movies.
Comic Book Men is also very
ironically, popular. Some of his podcasts have led to movies. I think by the end of next year, there will be 3 movies based specifically off conversations he's had on podcasts.
Wow.
But his advice to podcasters, and he encourages everybody to get out there and do a podcast, is also applicable here. And the idea is to be open, honest, and put it on Front Street, where you'll impress fans more by being yourself than trying to be what you think they should be. So when you're engaging fans, be completely honest with them. If they ask you a question, like, do you feel you're really screwed up on this album or something, don't pump out whatever you think is the PR thing to say. Just be open and honest with them, because that's how you build a relationship, with honesty.
Right.
So it's a good idea to just engage with fans and tell them what's going on in your life, if you're this kind of artist, and just react honestly when they talk to you.
I can't remember which band it was. It was Muse or somebody, and they put out a question to their fans, what do you want to see from this new record they are recording? Someone wrote, "Don't Suck." So he printed it and put it on his wall, whoever the musician was. So and he took a picture of it. So he's like, where he works and records, it says, "Don't Suck."
That's good.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing that you need to inspire you.
Yeah.
So, I guess pulling it all together, the running theme was there is no right way, but there are some wrong ways. When it comes to selling and sharing, you could talk too much about yourself, and that could annoy people the same way somebody just talking about themselves in real life would. When it comes to what to do when you're on tour and in studio, you don't have, or not on tour and not in a studio, you don't have to take pictures of your food, but you can talk about interesting things in your life, or you don't have to talk at all.
Yeah,
it's if you want to engage your fans, you don't have to stick to music. And how can I engage fans? Well, first off, make sure you buy batteries so that your microphone doesn't run out in the middle of a podcast.
Sit there going, huh?
Secondly, a great idea was brought up by India to actually make the first move and reach out to your fans and talk to them directly. Otherwise, you can just make it clear that you want to hear from them. Put a call to action, ask a question, sponsor. So put out a survey or a response, ask for an opinion, and always respond when they talk to you.
Yes. Agreed.
Is there anything else you'd like to add to this?
No, I think
cornucopia of information.
No, I think that we covered a lot of stuff that we end up talking to a lot of clients about. Mm-hmm. And people who we're working with and stuff like that. And I think if you're somebody that hates social media or you really just don't understand it, even being given all this information, you know, we have a lot of people that come our way that Rue actually works one-on-one with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really valuable, I think, to them to have somebody like Rue, or if you know, like whoever you know that is savvy with social media. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to work with somebody like that, because that's why we were saying earlier, there's musicians out there that look like they're completely savvy, but it's somebody else doing it for them.
Yeah, totally.
Now, we're not encouraging it, but we're just saying, you know, there's a benefit to working with people that know how to do that stuff, because these things are very, very important, and the times have changed. And if you're not on Facebook and Twitter, you're missing out on some pretty huge stuff with your fans.
Yes. It's kind of like I said previously, I think, in a blog. It's kind of like having a fan club and basically all the things artists used to do through mailing lists and stuff like that now is done online. But it's on a bigger scale because rather than an artist sending a letter to you, it's more like they go to your house, which is Twitter or Facebook or something like that, and they all hang out with you there. So it's important to keep up on that kind of stuff. And with somebody like a digital marketer or social media person to even just coach you to give you an idea of things, it helps you keep up on changing trends as well. Because I'm sure there are still some people out there that are working real hard on their MySpace page and don't realize that Twitter and Facebook actually exist. So you need somebody to let you know about things that you can, like, even if it's just new apps or new social media sites that may be useful in 2 years. Somebody just to keep you up on that. And we'll be doing that with the podcast anyways. So we'll kind of be like your social media gurus just by giving away what we've discovered for free in future episodes, of course. And we'd like to hear what you think about this episode and everything we talked about, especially the roundtable. What are your questions about using Twitter and using Facebook? And what kind of obstacles have you had to hit? What kind of fears do you have about promoting yourself online? And what kind of benefits have you reaped from doing it? Have you reached a lot of really cool fans and maybe started up a very cool fan club just through Twitter? And as I've also said before, 50 super fans is just as good or better than 5,000 fans. So we don't care if you have 50 people on Twitter or 5,000. Just love to hear how you're engaging with them.
Exactly.
And I think that's it for Radio Dale. We'll be moving on to the song soon, which I believe Amber will be talking about. But before we get to that, you can find out more about Dale Speaking, the company that... in which Radio Dale is produced, literally.
It's been born out of the loins of Dale Speaking.
You can find out more about us at dalespeaking.com, where we write blogs about 4 or 5 a week. And we also have links to all the kind of services we offer. And you can find back episodes of the podcast, all that kind of stuff through that. And we are also on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're everywhere.
Except MySpace.
Except MySpace.
We used to
be. Oh, we did. Yeah, that's right.
Back that was in the really day. Weird.
I think that got rid of. Yeah, that's gone. But you can find out all about Dale Speaking, where we work with radio promotion, digital marketing, and everything in between at dalespeaking.com. That was perfectly timed. Thank you, Warren. And I think that's it. Do you have anything else to add before we get to the song?
No, I think we shared a lot of information. I'm sure whoever's listening is probably either hopefully taking notes or maybe a little overwhelmed or they're excited. Who knows? Because that's a lot of information, but it's I'm happy we had all of that good information.
Good. So, I agree. Yeah. So tell me about this guy who is, he's not all the way crazy, right?
Just crazy enough. Okay. You know? Just crazy enough. So we have a brand new single from a man who we are very excited to work with. This is the first time we are working with this Canadian country musician who actually just won a CCMA award last year for Rising Star. He's had very successful singles on Canadian country radio already, has many fans outside of radio as well as within radio, and he just signed on to MDM Recordings, which is a country label we work with, and this guy's name is Bobby Wills.
Yay!
And we are working a brand new single from him. He's going to have an album out later this year. And he actually just won some ACMA awards as well over the weekend. So there's lots of stuff going on with this guy. So here is the brand new single from Bobby Wills, and it's called Crazy Enough.
Yay!
Yay!
I was 12 years old and bulletproof. There wasn't nothing on earth I couldn't do. 3 of my buddies on a big rock ledge. Every knee knocking, looking over the edge. They dared me to jump to the creek below. Last word they heard was Geronimo. Just crazy enough. Yeah. If you're gonna run with me, you gotta know this. I'm a little bit of water with a whiskey twist. My mama worked hard to raise me right, but up and I don't back down. Ain't never been much I was scared to try. I've never been a play it safe kind of guy. So if you're thinking about calling my bluff, I ain't all the way crazy, just crazy enough. Yeah. Too sweet. You say you want one right in the middle. A real good man, but a bad boy a little. Straight up and solid as the day is long. But the right kind of danger is a real turn on. Ain't it? Just crazy enough. Ain't all the way crazy, just crazy enough. Crazy.